your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Greetings, boys and girls. Welcome to today's program. That's right. No need to waste any time with some sort of bothersome rant on my part. I had a lovely week. No sadness, no anger, just work. So, whatever that brings about. We'll get right into the program as soon as I thank the folks at Blue Ridge Graphics for their support today. Blue Ridge Graphics, Mead Avenue at East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. Our guest today, Julier Courier Arbalize, owner of Peace Frog Travel Outfitters. Julie, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, I'm excited.
How come you're not gone for the weekend?
Unfortunately, I don't get to travel as much as I'd like to. I got to work and pay the bills.
Now, the business has been going for 10 years or more?
I'm heading into my 13th year.
13 years. Yeah. And, you know, I have to question the business skills of someone who's been going that long and hasn't hired enough people so that you can be gone all the time. What's up with that?
I love my job.
Well, that's a great answer. Julie loves her job. We are going to talk today about travel. Julie is here to answer your questions, talk about her experiences around the world. You know, take advantage of the expert brain while you have it. We'll be taking calls in just a little bit, 979-0919. Michael's here to patch you through. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free line. Dial it up. Once again, Julier Courier Arbalize, owner of local Peace Frog, right? For the longest time, I just assumed, because you were in that mighty expensive Barracks Road Shopping Center, that Peace Frogs was a chain, a network, a national thing.
You know, it is, the retail side of it is. The t-shirts, the logo, and that's owned by Catesby Jones, who was my partner when we started 13 years ago, which is why I have that name. And the travel business was a completely separate corporation at that time, and over a period of several years, I purchased the travel agency and then purchased the store. So now we are not a franchise. We're totally separate, but we get the good luck of sharing that very cool name, which brings us a lot of recognition, and I like the concept behind it.
All right. Well, tell me and tell the listeners a little bit about, you know, how did you get into this business? How did you end up here in Charlottesville, et cetera? You know,
okay.
The who, what, where, when sort of thing.
That's a fun question. I went to UVA, graduated in 92. I was an English major, and I left after graduation and went on my very first international trip, which was to Japan first.
Wow.
That's kind of crazy.
That's a big first step.
Yes,
you know,
by myself.
London or France or something.
First stamp on my passport was Tokyo Airport. Tokyo.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was very cool. And then I went on to Australia and New Zealand, and I was gone for a year. And I traveled by myself, and anybody that's done that kind of a trip, it's life-changing. And I got back and thought, I'm going to make more money, and I'm going to go and travel again. But I had a dog here and other things going on that, you know, I needed to take care of. And during that period when I was back working in D.C., I met Catesby, who had just opened a store in Charlottesville in Barracks Road Shopping Center, where we are currently located. And we decided to come back and open up a travel agency that would cater towards adventure travel, kind of what I had just done, because I had winged it. I didn't really have any resources that I felt like I could go to and find out how easy it really was and how accessible the world was. So that was where we had our base. And then, you know, we had a million ideas. We were going to have our own planes and support eco travel around the world and run our own trips. And those lofty ideals got a reality check pretty early on. And it turns out
they're still out there, right?
They're still out there.
Decade number two.
Decade two. We send people where they want to go, and we try to do a good job doing that.
Well, good. And, you know, just for those of you listening, well, I always want to thank the guests for coming on and their business when it's appropriate. You know, the show is not necessarily about Peace Frogs and, you know, how you can dial them up and what their special trip is this next weekend. You know, certainly I'm sure that Julie draws on her own business. But it is about, this program is about travel in general. You know, I guess, and the first thing, and you must get this all the time, I guess, in the within the last decade, because since you opened up, the Internet has... you know, exploded.
Yes, there have been huge changes in our industry.
You know, millions of internet sites to find your plane ticket, your hotel, you know, to effectively do, I guess not all, but many of the things that a travel agency had done for you in the past.
You're absolutely right. And that has been what's definitely made us stronger. And I'm sure people have seen many travel agencies across the nation and the world have close their doors because they can't or don't want to compete with that. What we bring to the table, what I like to bring to the table, is a huge passion for travel and a lot of experience doing travel. That's what I do every day. You know, I go and get somebody to cut my hair. I could certainly grab a pair of scissors and do it myself, but someone else can do a much better job. And I'm perfectly willing to, you know, to pay somebody to do that. And I think that the staff I've created and the people that come to us appreciate our enthusiasm for travel and our knowledge, and you know, we can help at the front and the back end in terms of any problems that come up. So really,
what sort of problems come up where, you know, you're better off having a travel agency behind you than just, you know, walking over to the customer service desk at American Airlines and, you know, pounding your fist?
You just named the biggest problem, and that is that customer service barely exists with the airlines anymore. They can't afford a reservation staff. Even we wait on hold sometimes 20, 30 minutes to get an actual person to help us with a situation, although sometimes our routes are a little bit more effective. So really, the problems that come up are, you know, schedule changes are sort of rampant in the industry. Plane sizes change. Flights change schedules, there's misconnects, things like that, where if you book something online, you typically don't find out about it until it's sort of too late to fix or you're at the airport. And it's difficult to call somebody up and get something fixed if you need to make a change. So we're really the middleman, and we act as an advocate for our clients on all sorts of levels, that if you buy something online, it's difficult to get a person to help you when you need help.
I've read about, but am completely unaware of how it works, is travel insurance.
Travel insurance is completely different than any... I'm sorry, my...
That's all right. We'll fix those. Michael will come back in here and take care of that.
Travel insurance is different than regular insurance. And, you know, we basically recommend it to clients that have special medical concerns or... are buying a pretty expensive trip and couldn't afford to lose any of the funds that they have invested in their trip because of a medical emergency that they, their traveling companions, or somebody in their immediate family has. It's really easy to buy. It tends to be an expense issue for a lot of people in terms of whether or not they want to spend the money to buy the insurance to then cover the larger amount that they've spent on their trip if there were a problem. And you buy it on a per trip basis. It's something that you can get through a travel agency or on your own, but it's particular to each individual trip.
All right. That sounds, you know, I guess I'd always heard about it, but I'd never really thought about it.
Yeah.
Is it something that, it doesn't sound like something that a lot of people do.
You know, since September 11th, I would say 50 to 60% of our clientele now buys some level of travel insurance because people are more worried about trips being canceled. And it hasn't been only 9/11 and the situations that came out of that. It's been the worldwide weather creates a lot of problems to destinations that people are traveling to. And if you don't have any kind of insurance and you can't get to where you're going, a lot of times you lose 100% of your travel investment. And that can sting if you're going someplace far and exotic and you've already spent all that money.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that happened after 9/11. Obviously, security issues have come up. Are some airports, let's stay domestic for a minute. Are some airports a lot stricter than others? I mean, because you read in the paper all the time about how, you know, these tests of the security of the TSA folks and how they snuck in, knives and tweezers and everything else that you're not supposed to have. At some airports, the wait to get through security can be multiple hours, and at others, and I'm not talking about, 6 exits like Charlottesville Airport. Why is there a difference, and are there certain places that you, certain airports that you try not to schedule your clients to go through?
You know, I don't know that there's necessarily airports we don't send people through. Certainly larger metropolitan airports have higher levels of traffic, and therefore security lines are longer. But that doesn't mean that the security level is any different than a smaller, less crowded airport where you fly through the security, but you're still going through the same process. So, for instance, at Charlottesville, you still take off your shoes, you still get, your bags checked the same way that you would at Washington Dulles. The difference is that there's just fewer people going through that airport. And I would guess, and I don't know this for fact, but if you're at Charlottesville Airport, the security fears are probably less than they would be at Washington Dulles or JFK or, one of the larger metropolitan airports. A lot of times we do recommend people fly out of Charlottesville for domestic and international flights just because you check all your bags in there and you do get through security so much quicker that it's almost worth $20, $30, $50 extra dollars to not have to hassle with waiting in long lines and dealing with more rigid security checks or possible delays.
As much as I love the Charlottesville Airport, is because of its ease and closeness, you're talking about a lot more than $20, $30, or $50.
No, that's kind of a myth, and it's sort of funny. I'm certainly not plugging, Charlottesville Airport doesn't even know I'm here today. But a lot of times the fares are a lot closer. And with gas prices as high as they are and parking, if you add all of that in, honestly, I would say even a $100 difference is worth it in terms of driving up to Dulles, parking your car, spending the extra time, the gas money. But a lot of times the fares can be very competitive. And it honestly, it's always worth checking because it varies from flight to flight, day to day, month to month, as to how competitive Charlottesville is with Dulles and or Richmond.
And, I'm not here to show off my incredible travel expertise because I have none. But one of the things that I used to do was if I was traveling, I would often drive up to fly to Dulles or to fly to Baltimore, because I had friends up there to stay with and I could drive up the night before.
Right.
And spend the evening with them and then have them take me to the airport the next day. But now if you're going to drive up there by yourself, with the traffic, my God, you got to leave like a day in advance just to make sure you don't get trapped on 66 or
that's
or
true.
Somewhere.
And no travel insurance is going to help you if you get stuck at a traffic jam. We send a lot of people up to Dulles the night before and they have what's called park and fly hotels. And, if you're staying for a week or more, you spend $100. That's a round number on a hotel. You leave your car there. They shuttle you to the airport and then they'll pick you up, a week or two later. You grab your car and come back.
Well, that's a good deal because it probably costs $40 or $50 just to park your car by itself.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And if you're traveling with a couple people, you can all stay in the same room. So a lot of people do that. But honestly, over the last couple of years, we used to have clients that would say they would go to Baltimore, to Philly to save money. And we just don't see that anymore. We're flying a lot more people out of Charlottesville. Richmond has a lot of great options. So we're definitely seeing people stay closer to home in terms of their departure airport.
I see where Southwest just said that they were going to go into Dulles sometime later in the year.
Yes. Well, they've said that for a long time. So hopefully
For those who realize that radio is not a video issue, you just rolled your eyes at that.
Well, Southwest was going to go into Richmond. they're a fantastic airline. If everybody could model, all the airlines could model after Southwest, the airline industry would be in a better place right now, I'm sure. But, you know, we'll see if they get into Dulles. Dulles has charters and less expensive options kind of come and go, and I'm not sure why. A lot of times they don't seem to stick. JetBlue is doing really well out of Dulles, though.
Okay. Feel free to dial us up and take advantage of Julia Currier Arbelaz and her knowledge. She's the owner of the locally owned and operated Peace Frog Travel Outfitters. 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. Julie's here today on a beautiful Sunday, sharing her knowledge with us. Take advantage. Julie, one of the things that I'd seen in the paper, and we chatted about this briefly in the lobby, I've been over into Canada probably over 100 times by visiting one of my best friends up on the Vermont-Canadian border. And all we ever had to do was show a driver's license and tell them where we were from and why we were going to Canada and were we spending the night or not.
No more.
But, yeah, I mean, I've read something about, and I don't know where it stands or what the actual rules will be, and I don't know if you do, but now I've been told that if I go next summer, I need to take my passport?
Yes. By December 31st of this year, you have to have a passport to go to Canada, Central America, Mexico, the Caribbean, and Bermuda. By the end of 2007, you will need a passport to go anywhere. And I'm actually saying that in reverse. It doesn't necessarily mean you need the passport to go into these other countries. You need that passport to get back into the U.S. And that's a requirement that everyone will have to follow.
And is that all due to sort of the 9/11 issue, only, you know, just sort of coming about 6 years later or so, our war on
terror? Well, it's such a big deal because, you know, passports are not cheap. You're looking at about $100 per adult, and that's not with any kind of expediting or anything like that. And I think that, yes, I think it's just taken a long time to figure out that that's a necessary evil, I guess. So everybody will need, you know, there are a lot of countries that already require that, but now everybody in the U.S. will need one.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for many folks, do you need a passport now to go to Mexico? I have to say I've never
been. Not right now, but you will by the end of the year.
So
and
there are a variety of countries that people don't even
need a birth certificate, an official birth certificate with a raised seal.
You just don't think that that's really leaving the U.S. that much.
No, and I think that what we will see is, imagine you're a family of five, you're going on one of these cheap, you know, Mexican three-night trips, and all of a sudden you have to buy five passports. That adds another $500. And say you don't travel a lot internationally, people will probably think twice about taking that kind of trip if they're not big travelers. And, you know, over the long term, I'm sure that we'll all get used to it, and it will just be something that you do in life, is get your passport. But I do think that there'll be some immediate issues, but maybe that'll be good for U.S. tourism.
So that's the positive take on that for the travel industry?
Well, I mean, most of our travelers, to be honest, are world travelers, already have passports. It's kind of a non-issue. But there are tons of people out there that do take the occasional trip. And if you take the occasional trip and your passport only lasts for 10 years and it's $100 a pop and you're on a budget, that might deter some people that are traveling now.
Yeah, that's one of my questions is your passport expires, what do you do to get it renewed? Because, you know, your driver's license expires and you're really screwed. And there's a lot of effort that goes into getting your driver's license back in action.
Well, you know, when your passport expires or right before it expires.
No, this is after the fact. This is long after the fact.
Are we talking about your passport?
Well, I'm not trying to make this a personal show, but this is long after the fact.
Well, do you have your old expired passport sitting around with the stamps in it?
I'm sure that there are people who whose passport expired a long time ago can still find it.
You just get a new one.
You have to
go online, you download the form. You show up in Charlottesville, you can go to the passport office on the post office at 29 North. I think they've also opened a passport office at the downtown mall. their hours are restricted. It's like 8:30 to 2 Monday through Friday. Something right around those hours. And you just get a new passport. And you have to show proof of identity when you do that. So you would need your original birth certificate.
Yikes.
If you've got that, a Social Security card.
Wow.
Your driver's license.
I don't think I have any of those things. Well, I don't think whoever has this problem has any of those things.
Well, if you don't have your original birth certificate, you have to call the state that you were born in and get them to send you one. Because you really do need that, period, to get a passport.
I'm sure that it's out there somewhere for whomever. 1121 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk with Julie Currier-Arbeláez about travel and a lot of the questions and concerns that go along with that. Feel free to dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. We want to thank the markets of Tagger Fuel for their forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today, highs of 85 to 90. Clear tonight, lows 65 to 70. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs 90 to 95. Right now it's clear across the listening area, 85 in the valley, 84 in Lynchburg, 85 in Richmond, and 85 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tagger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let's thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for their support. They are SIBO Reader's Choice for Burgers and rated by Zagat Restaurant Survey for 4 years running. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. And they're open until 10, Fridays and Saturdays. Five Guys Burgers and Fries is behind the fountain in the Bearstroke Shopping Center. Now open in the Holly Mead Town Center and on the Downtown Mall here in Charlottesville. Get them at 97 Five Guys. All right, back in action here with Julie from the locally owned Peace Frog at Travel Outfitters. Julie, tell me about, and tell all the listeners about, pick one, your more exciting travel spots.
I have had the fortune of going to a lot of cool places. Probably one of the most interesting places that I went were the San Blas Islands off of the Panamanian coast.
Where, say that again?
They're called the San Blas Islands.
San Blas?
San Blas, S-A-N-B-L-A-S. It's an archipelago of islands. It's very primitive. And the people there are called the Kunas. And you leave out of Panama City on a tiny little plane, and you go over the mountains. Panama is a very thin country, so you sort of go over the mountains and out to this, you know, tiny landing strip. You just think, how are you possibly going to not land in the water? And then they pick you up by, you know, a carved out canoe, very primitive canoe, and take you to a place where, you know, all the power, the limited power that there is supplied by generators. You're on a tiny island. Kids are running around naked. It was just fantastic. It's a complete departure from...
It doesn't sound like that the Four Seasons there would be really... Really,
you know, even there, although I did not see it or stay there, there are some higher-end accommodations. As with any special place in the world, once it gets discovered by somebody with hotel connections and a lot of money, there'll be a Four Seasons or something very fancy built. So they do have that type of thing. But really, the real experience is staying in an unair-conditioned room with a hammock to sleep in, eating the local fare.
What is the local fare?
Fish. Of course.
Okay.
You're in the middle of the ocean. And
but I'm sure you're not like, catching it and eating it on a skillet, you know, just sort of like dropped in there and cut up.
They cooked it for us. So, of course, you know, it was spiced and they have access. The way that the society works, it's a matriarchal society, but the women stay on the islands and I guess raise the kids. I don't want to sound like an expert about this, but raise the kids and they do... molas, which are beautiful fabric pictures. It's sort of an art form, and you know they're very vibrant colors. They used to trade materials. They would trade things with the Colombians that were going up the coast, and so they make these beautiful art pieces, which they sell. a lot of ships come in and they sell them to all sorts of different people. But they, the women are on the islands, and the men actually go into Panama City and make, I guess, a living in Panama City. And they bring back supplies and things that you need, toilet paper, soap, you know, stuff that maybe they didn't use a long, long time ago. But so there are common, commonly used items on the island, toothpaste, you know, things like that.
And can I ask how long you stayed there?
Just for two nights. Just two nights is nice to get away and feel like you're, you know, at night the generators turn off.
No TiVo.
11 o'clock. No TiVo. No. And it's a really neat, you know, an incredible place to just see that people are living in today's age at a completely different pace with completely different expectations and are, you know, perfectly, you know, nobody's perfectly content, I guess. They know, you know, they all have dreams and hopes and aspirations, but are living on these wonderful islands very away from the rest of society.
For two nights on the
San Blas Islands,
just off of Panama.
Yes.
And that's one of the trips that has stuck with you most?
Yeah, that was a really incredible experience.
How old were you at the time?
27 maybe? Okay. 26, 27.
That looks like next year for you.
No, about 10 years ago, I hate to say it. Another great trip was really stepping off the plane in Japan, where I didn't know the language, had never been anywhere foreign in the world, didn't have a place to stay, didn't know what I was going to do in Japan, had barely opened my Lonely Planet on the flight over, and figured it out.
Lonely Planet.
Lonely Planet are my favorite travel books. They're fantastic. They're great for budget travelers. They're great for higher-end travelers. They give history and maps and are very true to sort of a traveler's journeyman spirit. They kind of, they're wonderful, wonderful books.
And have you ever thought of participating in that TV show, Amazing Race?
Oh, my God. I don't know if I have the stamina.
But they go everywhere.
Yeah, that would
be obviously
really cool.
One of the things, I mean, I'm sure for those who haven't seen it, it's a show about a race around the world. And certainly, like with all competitions, there's a little bit of luck involved. But knowing how to travel and knowing how to speak the language or communicate with whatever foreign country that you're in is a big help. And I'm just sitting here listening to you talk, and I'm thinking, wow, she could win $1 million on Amazing Race.
Really, a million? I'm doing it. I'm going to sign up as soon as I get out of the studio.
You have to have a partner. I don't know if you'd go with your husband or pick someone else.
Yeah.
I would not pick me, by the way. I don't think that I would do very well with that. I'm curious. So that was your one of your more interesting trips. I still can't get over the fact that you went to Japan as your first trip because its language is so dissimilar, because the culture is so dissimilar. I mean, it's not, I'm assuming that if you went to an American high school that you had the opportunity to learn Spanish or French or Italian or you know, something similar, some other Renaissance language, and where at least you can sort of poke your way through. No matter how poorly you speak it by the time that you're traveling after college. But Japan, I mean, what prompted that as your decision as first place to go?
Well, this speaks to a travel agent, to be honest. I bought my ticket from what used to be Peregrine Travel in Charlottesville, and I was able to have a free stopover in Japan. And I was like, free? Another country? Okay, I'll do it. And that was it. I didn't really think about it. Japan was not on my list. Australia was on my list because, to me, Australia was English-speaking and also far, far, far away. And I thought, now's the time to do it. I'm going to go to Australia. And Japan and New Zealand honestly just kind of came along for the ride. But I will say, in favor of Japan, that is the most fantastic country to start traveling in, because the people there, they bend over backwards for, I guess, anybody. Travelers, I'm, you know, a single 22-year-old, you know, everywhere I went, somebody came up to me, helped me negotiate my way through train stations, city streets, get to a temple I was looking for. you know, I've never, and since then, have never been met with such incredible kindness. People went out of their way.
Really? Not even since? Toss out a list of the countries that you've visited.
I have been...
And I'm assuming when I say visited, I mean more than just, like, plopped in the airport and, you know, waited for the next flight.
Sure. Gosh, I've been to Costa Rica, Panama. I've been to Ecuador and the Galapagos. I just went to Prague last year. Portugal, Spain, London, Italy, Amsterdam, Brussels.
Wow. As well as Japan, Australia, and New Zealand. That's a pretty good list.
I'm still working on it.
Are there places on your list that you haven't hit?
I am dying to go to Thailand and that part of the world. I'm mm-hmm. a diver, and I would love to do some diving in Thailand or Palau. Has phenomenal diving and is a really interesting society. Micronesia, that whole area is very interesting to me. And I think I would like to go to India. I think there's something very powerful about that society, and I would like to go there at some point while I'm young and won't get any horrible diseases that will just kick me in the butt.
Well, now you're sort of taking something away from the travel part, but we'll get back to that. It is 11:32 here on WNRN, also broadcasting on the new 95.1 in Harrisonburg. I want to take a moment to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports features a wide selection of camping and backpacking gear. Blue Ridge is also your headquarters for outdoor footwear. The experts at Blue Ridge can help you get the most out of your summer outdoors. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports can be found in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, there in Richmond, and at BRMS.com. All right, back to our guest, Julie Currier-Arbeliz from the Peace Frog Travel Outfitters here in Charlottesville. I have lots of questions if you just want to sit and listen, but if you'd like to dial up, 979-0919, 1-877, WNRN Rocks. Not that I have any children, but I read something in the last couple months about changing the ages for sending children alone on flights. Do you know what the rules are for sending a child on a domestic flight or an international flight alone? Because I would assume during the summer, divorced parents or even maybe they're together, want to send them to grandma, might have that.
Yeah, you know, it happens a lot. I can't give you all the rules because all the carriers have different rules. So it does depend on which airline you're flying on. But some common rules would be that usually kids 5 to 7 years old that are traveling by themselves have to go on nonstop flights. So that means direct.
5 to 7? They even allow that?
Sure.
Good Lord.
People do it all the time. Yeah, and the kids are great. You know, they're...
I'm sure the kids are great. It's the parent I'm worried about.
What they do is whoever is dropping the child off brings them to the gate, hands them off to a flight attendant. They are boarded on the plane first. They have a tag, safety pinned to their shirt, to their clothing, with all their contact information. They're the first to get on, and I believe they're the last to get off the plane. The person that drops the kids off or the child off has to give all the contact information of the person that is picking the child up, and there would be some sort of a security check at the other end to make sure that that, in fact, is the person picking the child up.
Right.
If you're over 7 years old, you can take, typically, now, is airline dependent, 8 to 11-year-olds can go on the flights that do have a stop, a connection somewhere, and you pay $60 each way, something around that number, to have somebody accompany them from gate to gate, and basically they're never on their own. So somebody will see them to that gate and sit with them until the plane is boarded and they're turned over to another attendant. So, you know, technically speaking, your child should be completely cared for from the minute you take your eyes off them to the minute, you know, the person at the other end picks them up.
I flew alone, you know, a couple times when I was, I don't even know if I was 11, but 12, 13, 14. You know, we used to take family trips for 2 weeks. Well, the kids would go for a week. And then mom and dad got week two to themselves with the other adults. But gosh, I can't imagine 5 to 7-year-olds traveling like that. That seems, but then again, I don't have any children. What about pets? I mean, because pets, little pets that can't leave the owner's sight seem to be all the rage for the last year.
Yes, and you can bring those little pets in the cabin with you, but there's only a certain number of seats that they will allow pets because people have pet allergies, and, of course, you can't have a plane full of little
yappers. Yeah, I mean, you can't have any peanuts on the plane, but you can have a pet.
Yeah. I guess people's peanut allergies are more severe than their pet allergies. I don't know.
Okay.
So say there's two or three spots for a little tiny pet or a cat on board, and then there's certainly cargo space for pets. The cargo space is really the big concern because no one's going to be able to bring their golden retriever in the main cabin. And in the summertime, most airlines severely limit the animals that they're going to allow to travel, simply because there's no temperature control in those cargo chambers. And
right, it's like leaving your dog inside the car with all the windows up.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't advise it. I think there's way too much risk. And, you know, a lot of pets travel very safely and a lot of pets don't. So if you can avoid traveling with your pet, that would be my best advice. But you can certainly bring them. If you're traveling internationally, there's all the quarantine issues and, you know, things like that. So it's on a per country basis. But domestically, if you're going to put your pet in the cargo bin, I think you typically have to travel between October and May for the best conditions. But then it gets pretty cold.
So pets and kids, do you have a lot of that? I mean, if you talk about having world travelers, do you see a lot of children in your flights?
Yes, we do a lot of family travel. And, you know, kids are travel great. I took my 10-month-old to Prague last year, and he was
really
terrific. You know, traveling with kids is, and this is sort of quoting myself because I just did an article about traveling with kids in Albemarle Family. And I think that the thing about kids is they're just experiencing new things every day, whether you're in Charlottesville or you're in Prague. It's all kind of new and exciting, and they bring this crazy enthusiasm, and as long as you can be flexible to your child's needs, it's a really wonderful experience, and I don't think people should be afraid of it. I think it should be embraced. And so, yeah, we do. We see a lot of travel with children, definitely more domestic than international, definitely a lot of Disney and national parks and things like that, but certainly it's no problem to take your kids anywhere in the world.
All right. I think too many buttons on this board for me some Sundays, and I think I got it all fixed. Call, are you with me now?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm sure you can hear me before, but nonetheless, fire away with your question or comment.
Okay. I'm considering driving a 12-year-old car to Mexico and hopefully selling it to somebody down there and flying home, and I'm wondering if you can tell me anything about trying to avoid any nasty surprises in terms of titles or registrations or just, you know, what the pitfalls or proper procedures are for doing that kind of thing.
So driving your car from here into Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and looking for interesting things you might have to worry about as far as car titles. Is that right?
Titles and registration. I mean, just like selling it there and flying home.
Oh, so you want to drive it and then fly home and leave your car, et cetera.
To drive it around. I've heard that there are big issues with having to pay big deposits when you cross the border, which you don't get back.
Yeah, okay, paying big deposits when you cross the border. All right, Julie, fire away.
Thank you.
I have to say I don't think that you have to do anything when you go across the border. I don't know anything about selling a car in another country, and I think if you were shipping it in and they knew you were shipping it in to sell, there would be taxes levied. But I think if you're driving it in, I think it's just like driving it in as a tourist. Unfortunately, don't quote me on that.
All right, we won't quote you on that. Sounds like you need to call, I don't know if DMV would help or not. Certainly not in Virginia, probably, or certainly not the Charlottesville branch, which is so understaffed you can't get anything done.
Right.
Nice people, highly understaffed.
I mean, I can tell you that Peace Frogs years ago had a road rally, and we had drivers go all the way down to Costa Rica. So they crossed many borders, and a lot of them flew back. They, you know, left their cars. And I'm not aware of anything going on in terms of fees or tariffs or questions. I mean, they just drove across borders. You have to show your documentation as a person. I don't know if that helps you.
All right. Thanks, Julie. Well, we had Louisa on line four, but she was impatient and didn't hold on. So Louisa, dial back. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. And the phone's ringing, but let's do this real quick. 1142.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, this week, can independent music stores survive the increase of digital downloading? The Hook takes a look. The Fearless Consumer discusses an owner's responsibility for the bill if the pet dies while under a veterinarian's care. And there are big bucks out there to teach teens about abstinence and imperfect condoms if you follow all the federal strings attached. The Hook. Call today for a free estimate. And additional support also comes from 45fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no-obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. All right, back in action with Julia Currier Arbeliz, owner of Charlottesville's Peace Frog Travel Outfitters. You have a 1-800 number or something?
Yeah, we do. 888-737-6472.
It's not like 1-888-PEACE-FROG?
No, it's not.
All right. Let's take this call. From Brian in Stony Point. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. What you got?
Well, I have a question for Julie. It's kind of in regards to Oktoberfest. I was wondering if they had any cool travel packages for Oktoberfest in Germany.
We send a lot of people over to Oktoberfest. You know, travel packages like that exist through companies that specialize in events that go on around the world. And to be honest, I can't throw one out in your direction, but I'd be glad to work with you on it. And it's certainly easy to get a discounted ticket since you're planning so early to get you over there, and we can work on hotels and things like that. I think Oktoberfest is such a citywide event that you just have to get yourself over and the party comes to you.
Okay, y'all don't have like free bar tab tickets and go with that or anything, do you?
Hey, if I had that, I would see you over there.
Cool.
That would have been one of the places already checked off on the list.
Well,
thanks for calling.
Recommend I just come into your office and sit down and talk with you sometime.
That would be great.
Okay.
I'll look forward to it.
Thanks, Brian. All right, Louisa dialed us back. Hey, Louisa.
Hi.
What you got?
I had a couple comments on some stuff y'all mentioned a little while ago. One was the passport renewal. I just got my passport renewed, and my old one had expired a while ago. I just sent in the paperwork and my old passport and a couple photos, but I didn't have to send anything else in. So, you know, you don't really have to worry too much about the birth certificate, I think, unless maybe your name has changed. I think
right.
One of the times it
does. Well, and that was unless you didn't, if you don't have your old passport, you need your birth certificate.
Right, right, yeah. But if you have your old passport, that's all you have to send them.
You're right.
Along with photos and
okay.
Fill out the form.
Cool.
So it's actually very easy. It just costs a lot. And the other thing was, I have to give a plug to Charlottesville Airport because I spent some time working there for one of the airlines, and this was 10 years ago, so before all the security concerns. But one thing I think that is a benefit to a small airport like that is that the people who are, you know, your customer service agents and your ramp agents, they can be a little bit more personalized with their service. Because I know when I worked there, you know, some days I did everything. I did the ticketing, I did the baggage, and I pretty much knew all the phases that came in because we only did 3 or 4 flights a day. So if somebody had a problem or a special concern, then you know about it and you can take care of it. Whereas at a big airport, you're just sort of a face in the crowd, yeah.
And Louisa, I want to second that because while I do know that sometimes if I want to take a trip somewhere, the Charlottesville cost may be more than $50 or some of the numbers that were tossed out earlier.
Sure, yeah.
The convenience and the friendliness at the airport are superb.
Yeah, it really does make a difference. Right now, I live down in Charleston, South Carolina, and we have a similar kind of airport, and I always travel out of that, even though I end up spending $100 to $200 more for the airline ticket. It beats driving, you know, 3 or 4 hours to the next biggest airport and not getting that kind of service. So, you know, I just have to put in a plug for those guys. They really do a good job up there.
Hey, thanks for calling.
No problem.
All right. You can call as well, 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's 1-877-967-6762 for those who like to dial by number rather than try and spell it out. I see the phone's ringing, so I'll try not to ask a really long question. Julie, I took a trip in March, and I was trying to buy my ticket several months in advance, and I really made a choice based on the airline in the news that might go bankrupt. Is that something you have to consider, or which airline might go bankrupt next? Or
I'm going to get in trouble with this answer, but they're all the major legacy carriers, United, American, Delta, are in or close to or coming out of bankruptcy. I don't think that you have a better chance with one over the other these days. And to be honest, I think as long as you're on top of it, if suddenly 2 days, 3 days before your flight, there's the potential of strike or flights not going, that changes can be made quickly enough that wouldn't, you know, it could always be financially harmful, but sometimes the airlines will try to work with you in terms of putting you on other carriers and getting clients accommodated as smoothly and as effectively and as inexpensively as possible. So I wouldn't plan your trip around that.
All right. So I won't. We got Claire online too. Hey, Claire.
Hey, how are you?
We're great.
Okay, forgive me. I'm just tuning in late. If someone's already asked this question, I'm sorry. I'm wondering, we were recently in Europe, and Western Europe, and it was really expensive. And for my next vacation, I'm wondering, where in the world that's safe would my American dollars go farther than they did in the British Isles?
If you can go to New Zealand. New Zealand, the dollar is very strong down there right now. You know, it does change throughout the course of the year, and the euro has changed the European market completely, where Italy used to be super cheap. Now that they're in the euro, they've been able to kind of raise their prices, for lack of a better term. New Zealand is a good place to go. Traditionally, Southeast Asia in general can be very inexpensive. And you can try to stick to the major areas that would be relatively safe in the world. And South America. Once again, sometimes people are uncomfortable traveling in South America, but there are certainly plenty of choices down there that are as safe as going to New York City.
And of the countries in South America, what would you recommend?
Yeah, there's got to be one or two down there that aren't quite as safe as the others.
Right.
I'm probably not going to Colombia.
Ecuador, I'm sending a lot of people. There's been sort of a push. We kind of see countries come in and out of vogue. I'm doing a lot of Machu Picchu and Galapagos kind of little combo trips. They're not little, but I would say Ecuador is an excellent choice.
What about Argentina?
Pardon?
Argentina?
Argentina. I know their economy is bad, so I'm thinking.
Well, Argentina, your dollar, I mean, anywhere really in South America, but Argentina would be an interesting place. You can go to Buenos Aires, it's a wonderful metropolitan city, and then you can go up to wine country. Mm-hmm. You can stay in 4 and 5 star hotels for under $200. You can stay in 2 and 3 star hotels for under $100. Great food, plenty to see and do. Mm. You know, that type of trip certainly would stretch your dollar.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Claire.
Bye.
You have a website as well, right?
Yes, it's just peacefrogstravel.com.
This is what happens. You get the free plugs when you take the time out of your Sunday to come on.
Well, we appreciate it.
Again, we're not promoting the particular business. We're talking about travel, and Julie was nice enough to give up her Sunday morning. Julie Courier Arbelize from Peace Frog Travel Outfitters here in Charlottesville. 11:51, just a few minutes left. If you want to ask your question, 979-0919. For the local folks, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. For those of you who've already traveled outside of Charlottesville. Julie, you mentioned the gentleman asked about Brian asked about trips to Germany for Oktoberfest. One of the things that I've read recently is about these reality tours where you sort of take a tour trip that's really not meant to be so pleasant. You go to Mexico and sort of take a trip on what it's like for a Mexican immigrant to try and come across the border, or you know, things like that. Have you done any, had to do anything like that?
No, I am not familiar with that at all.
You don't obviously don't have time to read the USA Today as thoroughly as I do.
Obviously not. I mean, you know, I'm all for having an authentic travel experience, but torturing yourself on your vacation doesn't sound like a good idea
to
me.
What qualifies as a true authentic experience? I mean, obviously going down to San Blas Archipelago and staying in the Four Seasons probably doesn't qualify.
No. But on that day trip that you leave the Four Seasons and go support the local economy and swim with the children and sort of soak in the culture there, I would say that qualifies.
Are packages really the best way to go? I mean, you know, sort of getting everything all together, flight, hotel, car if needed. You know, the old style of travel, which
right.
was, you know, 8 countries in 7 days kind of thing.
You know, I mean, packages are good value for your money. And we sell a lot of packages because a lot of travelers have limited time. They want to know what they're doing, where they're staying, how much they're spending. They want it all kind of laid out.
So they have an itinerary.
Right. And that keeps us in business, and that's a fantastic way to travel. And you get, a lot of times if you bundle things together, you get discounts on your air, on your car, on your hotels, because you're prepaying for it, and that's, you know, it's kind of a bundled deal. For the more adventurous, I would say that sometimes packages are going to lock you in. If you've bought an all-inclusive and you want to go out and experience the local food, then the decision is, well, we've paid already for dinner here at the hotel. Do we want to pay again to go eat somewhere else? I'd say, yeah, you probably got a good enough deal on your package to make that worthwhile, but I don't know that everybody would make that choice. Travel is an experiential thing, and some people, it's a financial thing for most people. And so I think you have to figure out what kind of an experience you're after and then tailor your trip accordingly. If you're going on a honeymoon and you just don't want to think about every penny that you're spending, then an all-inclusive is absolutely a great way to go. You just go, you relax, you enjoy each other. You don't have to think at all about, you know, that next glass of champagne or, you know, the lobster tail that you're eating, or, you know, it just doesn't come into the picture. If you want to really go and explore Italy and be a part of the Italian culture and eat amazing Italian food, then you have to immerse yourself a little bit more in figuring out where to find that stuff and making it part of your trip.
All right, 11:56 here on the Wake Up Call. You are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar, Amherst, Lynchburg. And don't forget also the new 95.1 in Harrisonburg. And I can't keep track of, we're taking over the state. What is it, 95.3 in Lexington? I don't know, you even know all the numbers. But we're in Lexington and Harrisonburg and just outside of Richmond and down in Lynchburg, Amherst, and all over. Hopefully you're catching us every week on all those dials. Hang around, because in just a few moments, George Bell is going to be here for Les Temps Perdue. He plays the best of 80s and 90s alternative. No Debbie Gibson or Robert Palmer or Billy Squire, but he will play some Bjork and Pixies and Nine Inch Nails. And he does like requests. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only here on WNRN, whichever dial you're listening to. All right. We got Rusty online, too. Hey, Rusty.
Rick.
Yo.
I had a question for the lady.
All right. Can you hear? Hold on a sec.
Becoming a travel agent.
What do you do to become a travel agent?
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good question. You know, the way that I've always hired and the way that I learned was just by doing it. There used to be travel schools, and it used to be a much bigger industry, but that really doesn't exist anymore. There is a special computer language that we know that goes with our system in order to book things, and it makes us more efficient.
But it's not your system at Peace Frog.
It's not my system at Peace Frog. And there's probably five or six different systems, depending on which part of the country you're in, to do the same thing. So for me, and this ties into what I would love to sort of end this hour on anyway, it's more to become a travel agent, you have to just love travel and support traveling and getting people out in the world. It doesn't matter where they go or how they do it or what's going on, all the nastiness that's going on in the world. It's so essential to sort of want people to experience different things, whether it's within the U.S. or outside of the U.S. or whatever. And that kind of drive, I think, is what makes a great travel agent. So if you want to do that, you should come down and see me sometime.
Rusty always has a good question. You know, we got just a minute or so left here. What do you do to, how far in advance do you need to book a trip? You made comment about, Brian for already considering his Oktoberfest trip, et cetera.
Sure.
Does it matter on where you're going and what you're doing?
Yes, absolutely. It's if you're going for a big event, World Cup was huge in Germany this year. People were booking, you know, 6, 9, 12, you know, you can't actually buy a ticket 12 months out. It's about 10 months out that you can buy a ticket. For big events like that, the earlier you can start shopping, the better. And if you go through a travel agent and the fare is insanely high, and we think that if you wait a couple months, it could go down, or we'll keep an eye on it week to week, then we'll do that. It is typically for domestic tickets best to at least plan 21 days out, because that gives you typically the lowest fare break. But then sales do pop up throughout, you know, that period of time as well. So the further that you can start planning your trip, the more likely it is that you'll get a better deal. And if you're going for a very particular event that happens annually or happens once a year or is the Olympics or something like that, I would start 10 months out.
All right. That finishes it up today. I want to thank everybody who called. I want to thank Julie Currier-Arbeliz for spending her hour with me. Thank you so much.
Thanks. It flew by.
Yes. Well, it does when you're having a good time. Which is what we're all about. I have three of the next 4 weeks planned out. We'll be having the Food Geek on in a couple weeks. We'll be having Integrated Medicine doing a show about that. We'll be doing a show on growth here in Charlottesville and how it affects the environment. But next week, I'm still working on. So tune in anyway. Check out the surprise. Adios.
Morning Wake Up Call on WNRN. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.rlc.net. The Wake Up Call is produced by Katherine Greiner. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.